Welcome to the inaugural episode of With Those I've Journeyed. I'm one of your hosts slash conversationalists, Terry Shoemaker, and I'm joined with, fellas, introduce yourself.
I'm Ben Kickert.
I am Rodney Goodman.
Welcome, fellas. So in this episode, this first episode, we really just want to talk about this thing that I roped you both into. And now that we're starting to do some of the work, maybe there's some resentment there, and we can talk about that if you need to. If that's healing for you, we can definitely discuss that. But I thought maybe the first thing we need to do is simply just like introduce ourselves so that listeners who don't know who we are would just get like the smallest little sense of like where we're coming to these conversations, this podcast. And obviously a lot's going to be revealed with our conversations, but what do listeners need to know about you, Rod, so that they can like be able to step into the conversations and better understand what you're doing?
Yeah. So I would say I am a pessimistic optimist, or a pessimistically hopeful. I really have always wanted to be hopeful, but the older I get, I don't know. I'm just more pessimistic about that. I have a way I see things that I would like them to be, but I don't see how to get there. Does that make sense?
Yep.
And I am a type A personality. I make lists. I check off things. I'm very practical. While you guys are talking about how to do something, I've spent 15 minutes doing it. I love to jump in and get things done. I'm a go-getter that way, and sometimes jump ahead of myself because of that. But that's just the way I approach life. If something comes to me, I jump in and do it. We've been friends since what, 2000? So we've got, you know, we're working on a 20-year relationship, kisses, hugs. Ben, I guess we met in 2008. You guys are both guys that, man, when, no matter what we come up against, how long we've been apart, a phone call or conversation seems very natural. We were friends at a crux time in our life that really molded us all together. Ben came in on the end of that for me. Terry went through the fire with me. So that's kind of where we are.
We went through the fire Johnny Cash style.
That, like, no shit, man.
Right into the ring of fire and down. And now we're just like, we're literally like the stokers of the fire.
Yeah, burn it down.
And what about you? What do listeners need to know about you?
Well, Rod was talking about being a optimistic pessimist. I think that all of us, and actually many of the people I anticipate that we'll be talking with during this series, I would describe them as constructive discontents. People who are like, this is messed up, but look at it from a constructive way. And so I hope to be able to describe myself that way. Personally, I would say that I'm the quintessential jack of all trades, king of none. I tell people that, you know, if you're looking at my CV or resume, depending on which side of the pond you're listening to this podcast from, that, you know, it looks like you took a bunch of resumes from 20 different industries, shredded them up, and then slowly started piecing them together. So everything from, you know, firefighter to distillery manager to pastor to international aid, you know, HIV work, international AIDS worker, and all of those things have come across. I do data analytics now. So there's definitely an analytical side to everything that I do. And I think that when we were starting to have this conversation about what this podcast could be, or kind of what is the angle that is not only, you know, interesting to us to explore, but also has practicality for other people who would be interested. I think Rod already hit on it. Like we came to a point where our paths intersected. I think there's a lot of people from very diverse settings that were a part of that, that have, you know, some have followed very similar trajectories. Some have kind of gone off on their own way, even physically. I think we've all followed our own, you know, our own direction. We were all in Bowling Green, Kentucky when, you know, we were all at a kind of a life-changing or a liminal moment in our life. And now, you know, Terry, you're in Seattle area. I'm in Asheville, North Carolina, having, you know, relatively recently relocated from Southern Africa. And, you know, Rod, you're holding down the fort back in Bowling Green. So I think if you're talking about things that are important to keep in mind is that, you know, not only for our stories, but also for our perspective is that, you know, there's a lot of places and a lot of people that come from very diverse backgrounds that for us, at least as we discuss it, coincided at a very specific and important time that set us on a trajectory that is similar. But as we can tell, even as we're talking here on Zoom, like we're in very different places, but have traveled similarly because of what happened during that time. So I think that perspective of diversity and parallelness that, you know, there's no judgment in that, that I think there's a lot of praise and celebration in the diversity that brought us here and the diversity of the places that it's taken us.
Yeah, both of you mentioned, you alluded to this crux moment in our lives that kind of brought us together. And I just want to go ahead and name it. I mean, we all know it was the Bowling Green Massacre that brought us all together at one point in our lives.
We were there.
Man, yeah. Being with you guys in the streets during that changed me.
Now, Rod, I mean, just to set the record straight, I am 90% confident that you and I bought a hookah from, we bought a hookah from the guy who was indicted in the Bowling Green Massacre.
That's no shit.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if that labels us as sympathists or what, but yes, we were actively involved in
red coats.
Thanks. Right? Thanks for reminding me about the hookah phase of our lives.
Well, obviously that crux moment, I think, will come out more and more as we talk. And obviously we're joking about the imagined and made up Bowling Green Massacre of Rand Paul and Kellyanne Conway and whoever else wants to talk about that stupid stuff. Myself, for the listeners, I would say I've been reflecting on this a lot about like, who am I and trying to think back about my past experiences and career. And I think I've just come down to like, I'm someone that's done a lot of mentoring and a lot of storytelling. And those are the two things that I've really like found that I have a knack for, and miss right now. I'm fully online teaching and miss those personal relationships where I feel like I can mentor students. And I'm very fortunate. I had this and probably some of it is I'm an ideas guy. So I have a lot of ideas that I rarely ever follow up on. And I had this idea for this podcast. And to be honest with you, the labor of doing a weekly podcast was too much for me to ever, to prompt me to ever actually take off with this. But we were having a different conversation one day, and it dawned on me that I should invite you all into this distribution of labor so that you all could help me out with this, because I think doing a podcast called With Those I've Journeyed has to be a collective project, right? Like to do a singular project, I think probably just gives the middle finger to the whole thing. And to be honest with you, we have journeyed together, but I also trust both of you all. I trust you in numerous ways as far as who you're going to interview, what you're going to say, the integrity of your work, and simply that you're going to get your work done, right? That you're going to get the podcast done and everything else. And so the idea for this was that it dawned on me during the pandemic, I had some great conversations with people that I was reconnecting with. And I thought, man, I wish I would have recorded these. I wish these things were accessible. And to be honest with you, my initial thought was, I wish these were accessible for my kids later in life and their kids if they choose to have kids. And so, you know, I invited you two into this idea where we were going to record ourselves around certain themes with people that all three of us know, that only one of us knows, that our listeners will know certain people. And we're going to kind of create a public archive of these conversations so that the world can meet these really fabulous, interesting people that have been so dear to us in our conversations. And so let me quit talking just for a second and toss it out to you all. Like, what was it about this that you wanted to step into this, and where do you see like the importance of doing this type of project?
I'll jump in on that. I think there's the two sides of it. There's the shared connections, and then there's the independent connections. And I think on the shared connections, even as we've had some preliminary conversations around this podcast, there are some very, very interesting people who have shaped us from different perspectives. People that have meant different things to each of us, people that were around at pivotal times. And I think that sharing that perspective and being able to have the conversation with the two of you of what different things meant and what perspectives we were able to take from that is important. But I also think that what gets me most excited is probably the conversations with people who have shaped my life. Not in the, you know, oh, my first grade teacher told me that I could be great and, you know, that, but just the more of the general, like the people who've come alongside me at different points in my life and just were themselves and were able to be themselves and share a perspective that, whether they realize it or not, I'm able to tap into. And I'm stoked just to be able to, you know, have a reason to reach out to some of these people. You know, some of the conversations we'll have that we've already discussed are people that I haven't really had a conversation with in a decade or more. But to be able to say, you know, your perspective at this time in my life is something that has stuck with me for years to come. And it wasn't, you know, that sage piece of advice from the old man at the, you know, that you grew up with, but instead it's just the general being and the perspective that comes from that. And so I think it's the two sides. I think it's being able to come together, the three of us, and share some of the connections that were important for us and kind of analyze and be like, you know, this was essential at that time because of this, because I think that that's something I want to pass on to my kids, that ability to interact with different realities, but more importantly, just to have the conversations and to share those conversations. Some of the people that I'm hoping we have a chance to talk with are, you know, people that you might not meet in your daily life, but I think are the types of perspectives that are really important for us to hear, because we have become very isolated in our conversations these days, not only because of the pandemic, but just because of the way that society is structured and becoming very insular. I'm excited to be able to share perspectives from people that you know our listeners might not hear from in a regular day-to-day setting.
I'll have to admit, when you asked to do this, I'd been drinking, and so I said yes. This is not my wheelhouse. Like, and even today when you sent the email that said, "Are we meeting today?" I went, "Shit." today. And I haven't done anything. But in saying all that, like for us, Terry, we've known each other since 2000, but for the three of us, the years 2008 to 2011 were kind of a crux period in all of our lives and led us to different, really different places. And as much as the idea of a podcast doesn't really appeal to me whatsoever, and when I think about it, even when we get done with these meetings, as much as I enjoy them, when I think about the next one, I think, oh God, I got to do five more interviews. Mm-hmm. But when I do them or listen to them, they've been so enjoyable to me. And one of the things that 2008 to 2011 did for me was it really, I don't know, that's one of the first times I had a solid community, like where everybody who was involved in my network, I trusted with everything that I had. And we had been through a lot of stuff together. And so But I also have come to realize that there are folks from a part of my life who are where that time period is more uncomfortable for me to go back and revisit, but have still had a huge impact on my life. And so, to be honest with you, going back and connecting with some folks scares me a little, or makes me uncomfortable, or I don't know where that conversation is going. But every time I've entered those conversations, it reminds me of how much that connection or connection in general has meant to my life. And this year, this year is kind of given the opportunity to disconnect more. Mm-hmm. I mean, if that's what you chose to do, and so you get into this routine of I do my job from my home office, I connect with people, I do that, I come home, I do a few things I enjoy, I watch a little TV, I get up, I go to bed, I watch that, I go to bed, I get up, I do it again. And so it's kind of reminded me of how disconnected I've become this year. And so, you know, my first conversation was with a good friend of mine, and like, just that, who is also, he's very much an introvert and has enjoyed 2020 because of that. And so, but that time to connect again reminded me that, you know, I need to go back and revisit some of those things. And while we were all geographically together in 2008 to 2011, that made all of that very simple for us. Our core network from that time period in our life is geographically dispersed now. So connecting is more work.
Yeah.
And so, remembering to do that, as much as every time you text and say, hey, are we still meeting this afternoon? No, I hate it. and that inside my soul, I die a little bit. But when I get here, it reminds me of why I want to do it.
I think our listeners are really getting a good glimpse into that pessimistic optimism or optimistic pessimism that you were talking about at the beginning. You're already like, man, I love this so much and I hate this with every ounce of my being. At the same time. Hey, before we go any further, I want to say just a couple of things from our sponsors. Actually, no, we don't have sponsors. But I do want to say a couple of things just to clarify. Two things that I think is important, and then I'll, if Ben and Rod have anything that they think listeners ought to know. One of the things I actually thought was each of us have what I think are really good jobs with really good institutions. And I just want to make it really clear that for the most part, this podcast is completely separate from that. So we don't want our employers judging us for who we are with our unprofessional selves during these podcasts. And then the other thing I think that just needs to be mentioned because it kind of is, it shows up even in these first interviews in the coming weeks. This podcast isn't specifically about religion or faith. But those things are probably going to come up quite a bit because of who we were in our past and who we still are in some ways. We can't quite get away from that. But I want us to be as open and honest as we can in those conversations about that. And just the listeners to know that, you know, like a lot of people we're going to speak with, one, are Southern, so you're going to hear those accents. And sometimes you'll actually just hear religious verbiage thrown in, whether they mean it to be religious or not. And so that does come out quite a bit. But again, this podcast isn't about religion or faith specifically.
I think that folks need to understand that we all come at this from very different perspectives because of who we are. I mean, Terry, you're in the educational background, and Ben is very analytical and data-driven, and I am just a hell, let's do this kind of guy. And so, I think that perspectives will make it interesting as you see. If we were all three to interview the same people, the interviews would be very different.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We are not a three-headed monster. Yes.
No.
Mm-mm. Ben, anything? Any public service announcements you need to make right now? And I'm specifically asking you, are there things you need to say? No, I'm joking about that.
I just want to say that I'm not connected to any of Ben's illegal activities in his past. or present.
That may or may not be referenced in future interviews. No, I think listening to Rod speak and listening to you, Terry, speak, what my takeaway is that there's something about the present that I think is important to focus on, that there is going to be a lot of conversations that we have that talk about a very specific time or setting where the three of us were together. But that doesn't make 2018 to 2011 in Bowling Green, Kentucky as a special place. It's just that that's the place where our stories converged. And it being able to explore where they diverged and being able to explore how, whether it was in, you know, Glasgow or in rural Georgia or in, you know, the northern Idaho, how different people, but with the same perspectives, were able to kind of come in and I don't want to say speak the same truths, but be able to help us recognize those important concepts. And I think the immediacy and the presentness of our conversations is important. I think the three of us have identified a time where there was a convergence between the three of us that was very significant, that was shaped by a lot of other people who've come into the conversation. But I very explicitly want to say there wasn't anything special about that time, that those same sorts of transitions and conversations and movements could have happened anywhere in the world. And I really want to emphasize that, you know, part of what we're sharing is our little slice of the universe to be able to amplify some voices that haven't been heard or might not have been heard, or that we wish other people could hear. Because while we might've heard them in a bit of a microcosm, the fact is that the truth is much bigger, or the perspective is much more universal.
So the three of us have already conducted our first interviews, and these are the things that are going to be coming out in the upcoming weeks. And let's not give anything away per se, but you know, like maybe just introduce who you're speaking with and a couple of quick takeaways from that, or things that stood out to you from that interview, either about yourself or your interviewee. That like has resonated with you since the interview. Either one of you want to go first?
I'll go. Since Ben's pointing at me, I'll just like one of the things that stood out to me. One, the person I interviewed, Alan Arnold, we were so different at the time. Like we couldn't have been more different people, and came together because of work. But one of the things that really came out to me in that interview was how important connecting with folks was to me at that time in my life. Like we had just this really core group of people we were connected to. And Alan became one of those folks. And so, and how connection, like, you know, we talked about hope and joy and how connection was a part of that. What brought me hope in the future and brought me joy in the present, and how easy it was for me to kind of step away from that. I don't connect with folks in the same way I did during that period. So one of the things that kind of stood out for me in this year in particular has emphasized is how easy it is to become isolated and how important connection is to having hope and feeling joy.
Yeah, which is our theme, right, for the upcoming interviews is we wanted to, coming out of kind of a dreadful year, we wanted to reconnect with people and talk with them about hope and joy, where they're finding those things, how they practice those things. Ben, who was it that you caught up with?
Yeah, it's interesting because I think the theme of our first interviews is what guided me that direction. When we're talking about hope and joy, I thought about, you know, who's a person in my life that if I walked into the same room as, everybody is just going to be uplifted by having a conversation with them. And it's a guy named D.G. Hollums, who, when I started reflecting on it a little bit more, I realized he had actually only been a part of my circle for a very small time, you know, for, you know, maybe 2 or 3 years at the most. And even then it was very sporadic conversations, but he's just the type of guy who has a perspective and a love of people. He's very much a contemplative person, but also an extrovert in how he interacts. And I thought, you know, if I were sick and depressed and, you know, kind of thinking about life in a way that made me feel down, if somebody had to walk into that, you know, walk through that doorway to cheer me up, who would I want it to be? It's actually a guy who was only in my life a little bit 10 years ago. And DG and I, and we talked about this a bit in the pre-production, but, when I called him up, I had a whole list of interview questions and I think I got through one of them and our call went for 2.5 hours just because this was the guy that I'm like, oh my goodness. Like I want to know what's going on, what's happening in your life. You know, what is your perspective? How has this shaped it? And it's not a guy who's had a particularly, you know, easy or joyous life in the last decade since we've connected and some times of very real pain. But he was one that I thought about and I thought was very shaping in my own life because he also was able to kind of have that positive critique, that helpful critique where he was saying, you know, life doesn't have to be this way, but let's also acknowledge what it is. And so, you know, we're still working through, you know, all of that literally hours of interview time that came from that. And this is a guy that I haven't talked with for a decade. But still we were able to connect in a way that for me, was very rejuvenating. And so as much as we talk about this as a, you know, quote unquote product that we're sharing or, you know, what our listeners are like, the truth is that if the only thing that comes from this podcast is the fact that I had this conversation with DG, I'm a better person because of that. And I'm so excited to be able to share parts of that and be able to say, hey, you know, I want you to hear from a guy that you might not meet in your day-to-day life, but has a way of viewing life that is shaped not only by pain, but also by excitement and a recognition of the potential of what can be.
Yeah. If you went the direction where you identified this one person that was kind of a moment in your life that you wanted to reconnect with, I went a totally different direction of someone who probably has like memories of me as a child that I don't have. it's a wonderful couple that's been very influential in my life, Pop and Linda Cook. The thing that I really took away that I was just reminded of, they really have a contagious laughter. And they're very light, like they don't take life too seriously most of the time, and they play off of each other, and they jab at each other in the most kind of loving way. But they know like who they are, and like I have to say that after I had the interview with them, like I was grinning ear to ear thinking about it, and I got to hear stories they had never. I'd never heard before. Linda telling me about this fast car that they had and Pop telling me about how he outran a Corvette in that car. Just like their youthfulness, even for a couple that are in their 70s now, was astounding to me. And it honestly was a little bit of a lesson to me of, you know, like you're taking life way too seriously most of the time. You need to lighten up. And that was, you know, and they're going to mention faith, they're going to mention family and all those things, but it really was, they're just like pure joyfulness. It's like they're givers of joy and hope without even trying. It's just who they are. It's like embedded in them. And I felt like I was given a gift after doing the interview with them. And I hope the listeners hear that as well. And that Pop and Linda become some sort of Instagram rock stars that everybody wants to keep up with Pop and Linda in the future.
Well, go ahead, Rod.
I just say, like what Ben was talking about, what you mentioned with Pop. One, Pop and Linda made me that was just like sitting on the back porch with him again. I can remember sitting on the back porch with Pop after he burned down Linda's craft house, and they still brought me joy. Like that was just so joyful to listen to them and to hear that. But I just want to say, like, this whole process, I probably look more forward to what it will do for me than mm-hmm. what it will do for our listeners.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was going to take that, you know, in a very similar direction, just to say that just because there is a deliverable at the end that we're discussing, you know, we're producing a podcast and this is our schedule. And, you know, these are the topics that we're going to talk about. You know, it's easy to focus on that end. But I think what both of you are bringing up, just the importance of recognizing, naming, and in some cases reconnecting with those people who have been influential is key. And I mean, it's not that there's a challenge or an encouragement or a, you know, now that you finished our podcast, go do this. But the fact is that if there is a thematic element that can guide you to reconnecting with people in your life, that's huge. Like if the three of us sitting here and saying, you know, we had a time in our lives where we were connected, let's talk about people, you know, since or before that have brought us hope. If that's an excuse for people to say, you know what, I've been thinking about, you know, mm-hmm. whoever, you know, that I went to high school with, this is a great chance for me to call them up and just see what they're doing. Awesome. I mean, in the coming months, we're going to talk about some heavy issues, gender issues and race issues, but we're also going to talk about some lighter issues, you know, people that we played sports with, or, you know, people that, you know, we enjoy, you know, having casual, you know, conversations and recreational time with, like, whatever that looks like, just giving a chance to say, you know what, like, that's worth reconnecting and having the conversation. Like, that's a takeaway that I think is not unique to the three of us sitting around and, you know, yapping on Zoom and editing it, you know, and figuring out, you know, what this looks like as a podcast, but just saying, like, hell yeah, have those conversations again. It's useful.
To follow up with what Ben said to our listeners, if you're inspired to reconnect with someone, if you're inspired to share with us stories of hope with people, maybe even people who've passed on, and it's somehow cathartic for you, email us at withthoseivejourneyed@gmail.com. No punctuation in there, no space in there, withthoseivejourneyed@gmail.com. And just share stories. For those of us who know us, and you've got an idea of someone you want us to interview, you know, totally throw our friends under the bus so that none of our friends, if they see our names on caller IDs, nobody will answer the phone call because they're afraid we're going to invite them onto this thing and they know we're going to expose them. You know, like, feel free to email us and let us know what's good with the podcast, how it's inspiring you, or how we can make the podcast better. We're open to criticism. I mean, Rod's not, but the rest of us are open to criticism. Wow. For this podcast. So, fellas, let's wrap it up. All right. Since this is the first one and we're going to have many more conversations, thanks for journeying with me. And I look forward to going on this journey with you both.